the Lord. Has God been good to you?
Yes,
sir. I said, has God been good to you?
Yes,
we're not talking about your best friend. We're not talking about your spouse. We're not talking about your neighbor, your children. We're talking about the God of our salvation. So has God been good to you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We bless the Lord on this evening. Amen. We thank God for all that he's doing and what he's going to do. And we just thank God, as I said on Sunday, we thank God for the spiritual iceberg. Amen. The spiritual iceberg. Well, what do we know about a spiritual iceberg? Most of what's happening is where?
Underneath
the water. Amen. But then when God comes out, we just bless him. Amen. I'm going to relate a story to you while Sister Tanya gets Hebrews chapter 11 and a whole bunch of other scriptures that I got to do in a short time. Amen. But I'm going to relate a story to you that is a modified story, but it represents our salvation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to work hard, but I want y'all to work with me.
Amen.
Amen. Don't leave me stranded. Amen. A modified story. The story goes like this, and we can find ourselves in the salvation. A father watched his child. The good thing about a child is it could be a male or a female. Watch his child in a whirlpool of sin, decadence, and just utter confusion. And the father stood and watched the child. Now, everybody know about a whirlpool, right? The further you out away from the center, the more chance you have of making it. But the closer you get to the center, that whirlpool of whatever it is can draw you in further. So he watched the child, and the child started out on the edge a little bit, and every time, a few years, he'd get a little closer. And the father all along was trying to get the child's attention, and he could not get the child's attention. Then finally, the father got the child's attention, got him out of the whirlpool, amen, out of the sin, out of the decadence, out of all of the dirt, and cleaned him up. And he said, I'm going to give you a spiritual assignment. This is your assignment. Now, with the assignment, you are to protect this sacred heritage that's been handed down for years. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And the child said to the father, yes, father. Now, what the father didn't, what the child didn't realize is that the father was going to be away, but the father could see the child, but the child could not see the father. Amen. So the father said, now, this is a manual. I'm going to give you a manual. And the manual is your instructions for how you are to protect and keep this sacred heritage. He said, and then I'm going to give you a two-way radio. And we communicate back and forth through the two-way radio. And the father said, now, you have to be a little careful, son or daughter, because the enemy likes to interfere and get in the two-way radio and try to disguise his voice like my voice to try to mess up this sacred heritage. So the child said, well, father, how will I know when it's you, or how will I know when it's the enemy speaking to me? The father said, well, if you hear something that's not in the manual, then you know it's not me. If you hear something that's not normal, you know it's not me. Amen. And he said, well, son or daughter, you won't always be able to get a message through to me on the radio, on the two-way radio. So the only way that you'll know what to do when you don't get in touch with me is you got to read
the manual.
You got to read
manual.
The manual. How many know this out of lives in Christ?
Amen.
Amen. God cleans us up. He gives us a sacred heritage to protect. Amen. And the only way that we can get the instructions is that we either have to read the manual or we have communication with the Father. But all along, the Father is watching, and he sees that the enemy is trying to break in and thwart this sacred heritage that he's entrusted his child to protect. Amen. And then the father said, well, the most important thing that you need to do in the morning, get on your two-way radio, and I'll give you instructions for the day. And then in the evening, get on the radio and let me know how you made it. Doesn't that sound like our salvation?
Amen.
We should talk to him early in the morning. We should speak to him last thing at night. Amen. And then when we get some confusing messages, we need to read the manual. I heard somebody say that we'll be all right.
Amen.
Well, tonight we are continuing our thought on faith. Now, the question I want to ask, can you have true faith and walk in disobedience?
No.
Can you have true faith and walk in disobedience? Amen. True faith is the expression of love through an obedient spirit unto God. That's true faith. Unbelief is to walk in disobedience. Amen. So we're going to start off in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. Amen. I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time. I'm going to have to get to the crux and the meat of the matter. Amen. But tonight, the thing we're dealing with is the fact that unbelief will blind the child of God. Faith helps us to see. Unbelief blinds us. Amen. So we're going to read, if we can all stand quickly, we're going to read Hebrews 11, 6 and through 8. Amen. Hebrews 11, 6 through 8. And once again, unbelief does what? Blinds. Amen. And then hopefully we get far enough in the scripture. If we don't finish it this week, with the help of the Lord, we'll finish it next week. Amen. But without faith, it is
impossible.
Amen. How many want to please God?
Amen.
Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that, anybody coming to God? Anybody want God to do something for you? Anybody want God to move in your life and to move in a situation? Well, he that comes to God must believe. No other way you can come to God. You what? Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that
diligently.
How many are looking after God or seeking after him? Well, how are you doing it? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him by faith, nor being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now we said faith is moving through the love of God and what? Obedience. Amen. Obedience. So, nor being warned of God of things not seen as yet, then what? He obeyed God. He moved with fear, preparing not to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world, and because he moved in obedience, he became the heir of righteousness, which is by
faith.
You can't be righteous without faith. Amen. We read in, I believe in Romans chapter 14, it says, if you do anything without faith, it is sin. So our righteousness comes through faith. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for
inheritance.
What did he do?
Obeyed.
So faith comes through obedience. Obedience is a reflection of our faith. Amen. Obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And can the church say the word of the Lord?
Word of the Lord.
It's blessed already. You may be seated. So faith is acting in what? Obedience. Faith is acting in obedience to God. Amen. And the scripture says when Samuel went to confront Saul, King Saul, after God had given him a directive. Amen. A directive means God has told you exactly what to do and how to do it. It is not up to your personal interpretation to break down God's message. And God gave Samuel a directive. And Samuel, the Bible, you know the scripture says, but be not wise in your own conceit. Be not wise in your own conceit, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Your own conceit is you do things your way. That's what it actually means. Be not wise in your own conceit, but fear, reverence God. Well, how do you reverence God? You depart from evil. Well, God gave Samuel a directive. He said, go destroy the Amalekites and everything. He said, don't bring back anything. But King Saul went in his own conceit. In other words, he did not fully trust what God said. So he did a partial, if you can call that, because partial obedience is always disobedience. Partial obedience is always disobedience. So Saul went and he partly obeyed the Lord, and God called Samuel. He said, go and talk to my servant, King Saul. And when Samuel approached Saul, Saul said, I've done what the Lord has told me to do. And Samuel said, well, what means the bleeding of the sheep in my ears? And what is this king that you brought back of the Amalekites? And Saul said, it was the peace. You know how we are. All right, y'all. Help me, Holy Ghost. Anyone, Pastor Harper said, help me, Holy Ghost. You know how we are. Amen. When things don't go right, we always want to blame it on somebody else. Amen. Saul said, well, it was the people. And God told Samuel, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. He said, you should have hearkened unto what God had told you to do. Now, this is so important in us wanting to have faith and be obedient to God. He said, you have rejected the word of God. How did he reject it? In what? Disobedience. So whenever we personally disobey God's word, we reject the word of God. Now, thank God that our situations are not always so severe. He said, because you rejected the word of God, God has rejected you. Well, that is part of the disobedience and not walking in faith. Amen. So faith in obedience and through love is what pleases God. The minute we walk in our own conceit, amen. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with what part of your heart?
All your heart.
We're going to preach to each other. If you don't know it, you know it for us tonight. Amen. Trust in the Lord with what?
All your heart.
A-L-L. All your heart and lean not. Tonight I wonder how many in the church are really trusting in God. How many are really leaning to their own understanding? Well, our own understanding will cause us to walk in unbelief. And that unbelief will bring about blindness. Amen. And another word for blindness is hardness of heart. Amen. So blindness is to be dull of spiritual perception. In other words, God could be moving all around you and you don't see it. You don't feel it. You don't know it. That's what blindness is. You're dull of spiritual perception. Yes, you see. Amen. If we get far enough later, we'll see that you will see, but you won't see. You will hear, but you won't hear. Amen. Let's go to St. John chapter 12. We're going to read verses 37 through 40 of St. John chapter 12. Hardness of heart. Amen. And then we're going to go over a couple of scriptures with the Lord himself that explains what is hardness of heart. And hardness of heart is equivalent to unbelief. Hardness of heart, blindness is equivalent to unbelief. Amen. Verse 37 of John 12, if y'all don't catch up with me, I'll keep moving, you can catch me. It says, but though he had done so many miracles, he had done them what? They saw the miracles, yet they believed. You see it, but you still don't believe. This is what you walk in your own conceit, walking according to your own intellect, walking in disobedience. You see, but you still don't believe. God, I've seen what you've done to others, but I still don't believe. And he says, verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed? How many are obedient to the word? Who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been
revealed?
Therefore they could not
believe.
Belief creates a hardness of heart. Unbelief creates a hardness of heart. Unbelief, even when God is moving, you can't see it. Even when God is moving in the midst, you won't see it. Even when God is protecting and making a way, you won't see it. Why? Because you're blinded. Not a physical blindness, but a spiritual blindness. I wonder how many in the church have been blinded spiritually because they don't believe God. Amen? He says, therefore they could not believe because Isaiah says it again. And we know Isaiah is who? Isaiah. He has blinded. Who did it? God did it. Why? Because they didn't. And they didn't believe. Unbelief dulls your spiritual perception. Yes, you see. Yes, your natural eyes see, but you cannot see. Amen. Did not Balaam, when he went to curse the people that God said was blessed, remember he was blinded? You know, you're in bad shape. Look at somebody and say, you're in bad shape. He's going to talk to you. You're in bad shape. When the doctor can see the devil, can see the angel destroy you, and you can't see him, you know you're in bad shape. It's bad. Hallelujah. The donkey can see the angel of the Lord standing to slay you, but you're blind. Spiritual perception is off. Why? Because you're walking according to your own conceit. You're walking in your own wisdom. And you have determined to do what you want to do, even though God says, don't do it. The problem with Balaam, God said, don't go. Don't curse him because the people are blessed. But Balaam wanted the rewards of unrighteousness. Put simply, Balaam wanted the money. Right. Amen. You got to be careful when you want something more than what God wants you to have. The Bible says concerning the apostles, he said, we ought to obey God. Can we say God? You ought to obey God more than any or everything else. If we stop right there tonight and we make a personal examination of our own walk and our own faith, who are we obeying? Who are we following? Amen. So Balaam persisted to go against God. Now he was spiritually blinded because he could not see the spiritual danger. The angel of the Lord was standing in the way to slay Balaam, but he could not see it because of why? The hardness of his heart. It blinds, okay? So verse 4 says, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see nor understand with their heart and be converted and I should heal them. Well, what caused all of that? Unbelief. Even though they saw and then they knew what the Lord had done, they were still hardened in their heart. Now, we're dealing with the hardness of heart. Your heart is hardened as a result of what? Unbelief. Amen. Unbelief. Now let's go to Mark chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 4 and 5. Amen. I'm going to do, you ever see them do speed walking? We're going to do speed preaching tonight. Amen. I got 15 minutes to get a long ways. And somebody said, you didn't get off the first page, so we won't get far. Amen. We get as far as we can. Mark 3, verses 4 and 5. Now, what we're trying to do is get the church to understand we must walk by faith and not by our own understanding, not by our own sight, not by our own intellect, but we have to walk by faith. Amen. Verse 4 reads, and he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Now we all know it's best to do good, and we know it's best to do what's to give life. But when you are blinded through unbelief, you won't even make a proper judgment. Why? Because your spiritual perception is what? Off. Amen. Verse 5. And when he had looked round about on them with Why was he mad? Because of their unbelief. Amen. You want to please God, you have to believe. He looked upon them in anger, being grieved for the God was angry. The Lord himself was angry because of the hardness of their heart. Amen. So he was angry because their heart was hard. He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as the other. And if you continue reading on, they got mad because God healed somebody. You know, your spiritual perception is way off. When God performs a miracle and you get mad, your heart, unbelief, blinds you. Amen. Now let's go to Mark chapter 16. We're going to read verse 14. Amen. I know, I hope you all got your notes. If not, we'll give you a tape if you can't keep up. Now, we're dealing tonight with the hardness of your heart. Unbelief will harden your heart. How is a man there that needs a touch from God and the people won't even answer the master? Should you do good? Should you give life? They held their peace. You know what? God got angry. Amen. How many times have we been in a position to do the right thing and we held our peace because of fear of what man could do? You know what God did? He got angry. God wants us to always make a stand for what's right. Listen, stand for what's right if you got to stand alone. Paul said, it was a time in his life, he said, when all men forsook me, he said, yet the Lord stood by me. Why? Because Paul stood for what was right. Amen. After the Lord's resurrection, amen, he had joined himself to two men on the road to Emmaus. And as they communed with the Lord, and the Lord talked to them and revealed to them so many things, the Bible said their hearts burned within them. And then he said, go tell my disciples that you see me. Amen. But this is what unbelief will do. It will harden your, can we say harden your heart?
Harden your heart.
Listen, I'm on the clock. Y'all don't get weary. I got 13 minutes. Amen. I promise I'll be in the vicinity. Amen. Hardness of heart. Verse 14 reads, after he appeared unto the 11 as they said unto me, and you know what the Lord did? He corrected them. Because you can't please God in unbelief. He upbraided them with their
unbelief.
And because of the unbelief hardens your heart. Unbelief irritates God. It angers God. So the Lord upbraided, it means the Lord rebuked and corrected them to get them on the right path. Amen. Because of their what? Unbelief. Because they believed. They didn't believe that the Lord had appeared. Tonight I'm wondering, in the midst of all of our circumstances and conditions and what's going on in our life, how many of us have stopped believing? Whatever you've been asking God for, and in the Bible says, as long as you don't ask for it amiss, why have you stopped believing? Amen. God is indeed a God of his word. And if God says it, shall it not come to pass? Amen. Okay, now I'm going to have to give me a moment here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. We went over this on Sunday. We're dealing with the tools that the adversary uses against the church. How many in the church tonight? Give God a wave off. Now this is what the devil will use against you. The spirit of unbelief. Because he knows if he can get you. If you believe God, the devil has no entrance. The devil cannot get the advantage if you believe God. So the only way that he can get the advantage is to get you to doubt God. Because when you doubt God, you're saying that God is not a God of his word and that you cannot trust God. When you doubt God, you're saying, I can't trust you, God. Amen. So what the devil knows, as long as you have faith and believe God, he cannot get a foothold in the door. So the only way he can get the advantage and play in your playgrounds of your mind is to get you to first doubt God. Then when you doubt God, he comes in and then he whitewashes everything and make it look a way that is not, and he blinds you. So spiritually, it looks like everything's all right. But he knows he's pulling you away from God. Amen. Can we catch ourselves before it's too late? Verse 4 of the same of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 reads. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2:4. We do want to come out of much affliction, but that's not where we're at right now. Amen. It says, in whom the God of what?
This world.
Who's the God of this world?
Satan.
In whom the God of this world is what?
Blinded
the mind of them which? When you don't believe, you give Satan a foothold. Amen. And you know what God says. You know what God's word says. Amen. You know what the manual says, but there's another voice that's leading you away from God. Well, how can it do it? Because you don't believe God. Because when you believe God, you act in obedience. When we believe God, we act in obedience. No matter who it is, if it's Archbishop or the Arch or the Arch or the Arch or the Archbishop, if he's telling you wrong, if it's not in the manual, guess what? Don't do it. Because you ought to obey God and not man. You can read about that in Acts chapter 5. It tells the apostles, they told the apostles, they stop preaching in his name. Amen. You're performing all these miracles and you're trying to bring his blood on us. He says, stop preaching in his name. And they said, we ought to obey God. Right about now, who are you obeying more?
Jesus.
Amen. Who has a greater influence on you? Is it the word of God or is it individual people? Amen. We ought to obey God instead of man. Amen. So he got blinded through our belief. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians chapter 2. We're dealing with what kind of heart? Hardness. God wants us to have a soft and pliable heart. Amen. Paul, when he was Saul before he was converted, he was a hard man. Amen. But how many know God knows how to stop you in your track when your heart is right?
Amen.
Even though he was operating in ignorance because he did not know. He thought he was doing the right thing. But God saw his heart, so God stopped him. Then when the Lord corrected him and showed him if he was wrong, you know what he did? He did the most humble thing that all of us need to do. When God shows you, amen. He don't have to show you to anybody else when he shows you you. Saul said, Lord, what will thou have? He didn't go to anybody else. He didn't go to the apostles. Paul tells you in Galatians, he said, when the Lord stopped me, he said, I did not confer with flesh and blood. He said, but I dealt with the Lord one-on-one. Tonight we need some one-on-one dealings, yeah. If it's you. Amen. If it's you, we need some one-on-one dealings. Amen. With the Lord. Amen. One-on-one. Say, Lord, what? Not with my husband, not with my wife, not with my best friend, not with the boss, not with the pastor. What, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's when you have to have an intimate relationship with God. Paul said that I may know him. Anybody want to know him tonight?
Amen.
The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Lord, tonight I just want to know you. And in knowing you, Lord, what would I have me to do? Ephesians verse 1. Now we said the God of this world does what? Blind you through unbelief. Amen. Verse 1 of Ephesians 2 says, and you have he quickened who was dead in. God has made you alive. You were dead in trespasses and sin, just like the father washed the child in the whirlpool of sin and decadence. Thank God for salvation. Salvation cleans us up.
Yes.
Wherein in time past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the what? Children of disobedience. What we got? Simple. We go through all of them, yes. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Well, what does this do? Hardens our heart. Amen. Oh, the prince of the power of the air. Well, how does the devil get the advantage? As long as you're obedient to God, you don't have anything to worry about. He can't have the influence. But once you start walking in a little disobedience, a little disobedience is a whole lot of disobedience. Amen? We cannot minimize disobedience. For the sake of time, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Amen. Now we're dealing with when you're blinded and you can't see. Amen. You can't see what's happening around you because your spiritual perception is off. Now this is done in a good sense, but it's still dealing with blindness. Amen. So 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse, I believe it's verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, I believe it is. Yes, verse 8 is chapter 6. Amen. This is the king of Syria when he was warring against Israel. Amen. And we're going to show you how God can blind an individual that you don't even realize what's happening around you until you're in the midst of trouble. Amen. Verse 8 read, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, and such a place shall be my camp. Now the king of Israel didn't even know what was going on. Can somebody say, but God?
But God.
You don't have to worry about what the enemy planned for you as long as you're right with God. Amen. Don't worry about anybody else, but be right with God. Verse 9. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of, and saved him there not once nor twice. So God is working through the man of God to save the king of Israel. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, not my lord, O king, but Elijah. Amen. People know when you're in touch with God. Amen. Because when you're in touch with God, the Bible says God will order your steps. For the steps of a good man are the Lord will direct our steps through his word. Amen. So the man of God is guiding the people of God to keep them out of the traps that the enemy has set. That's why it's important to have contact with the man of God. Verse 13 says, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. In other words, he surrounded the whole city. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and went outside, going forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He looked out and saw all that trouble. Amen. He said, what? Anybody ever felt like you were in those what am I going to do situations?
Yes.
That's when it's time to get a word from God. Amen. He said, what are we going to do? And he answered, do what? Tell him I believe. Sir, I need you to believe. Fear is unbelief. Bible said, where there's fear, there is torment. He said, first of all, I can't go forward. I can't get you to see what God is going to do unless you get rid of the fear. Tonight, I wonder how many of us are walking in fear when the Bible says that God has not given us a what? Spirit of fear. You can either have the spirit of fear or you can have the spirit of God. Well, God did not give us the spirit of fear because he gave us the Holy Ghost. But he given us of love, power, and a sound mind means you can make a godly decision. That's what a sound mind is. A godly decision. Not a decision on revenge, not a vindictive decision. But a what kind of decision? Godly decision. So the first thing he needed him to do was what? Do not fear. Amen. He said, for they that be with us are. You ever felt like, God, I know you're there, but sometimes it seems like the enemy has the advantage. Seems like everything else has the greater control. He said, well, you know what? You're fearing. He said, fear not, for they that be
with us
are what?
More
than they that be with them. And Elijah, that's what you have to do when you get in trouble. It's time to do what?
Pray.
And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee.
Open his eyes.
When his eyes, were they already open? Didn't he already see? But what was the problem? The spiritual perception was off. Amen. He was looking through his natural eyes. But for God to see, for him to see what God was doing, he had to look through his
spiritual eyes.
Tonight, how many of us just keep looking through our natural eyes?
Jesus.
But we're not looking through our spiritual eyes. So we know he wasn't blind. He said, open his eyes and he may what?
See.
That he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. So they encompassed the city. And even the enemy could see that God had a host around his people, around Elijah. God had a host. So God opened his spiritual eyes. Tonight we need to pray, God, I'm tired of looking through my natural eyes.
Yes.
God, I need you to open my spiritual eyes so that I can see what you're doing. I understand what Isaiah meant when he said, I saw the Lord, and he was what?
High
and some of us need to see God in the midst of our situation. And the good thing about God, when you see him, he'll be never low and lifted down, but he'll be always high and that's why when you praise him, you got to do what? Lift him up. We got to learn to praise him by lifting him up. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I saw the Lord and he was high. Lord, and I bless your name and he was lifted up.
Jesus.
Amen. And when, verse 18, and when they came down to Elijah, this is a good example for us to follow. When everything is messed up, pray. When you want somebody to see something, pray.
Yes.
When you need to see something, pray. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Says, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee. Lord, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with
blindness.
And he spoke them with blindness according
to.
Now, was this a physical blindness? No. It was a spiritual blindness. Amen. Even in church today, a lot of us are seeing, but we aren't seeing. A lot of us are hearing, but we aren't hearing. Well, what is the problem? Unbelief. Even though this is a slightly different principle, it still works. Amen. And Elijah said unto them, this is not the way. Well, how was Elijah able to persuade them? Because they were now spiritually blind. Amen. The devil's desire. Everything that God meant for good, the devil will twist it and use it for evil. God used this illustration to show how he can bless his people by blinding the So then what does the enemy does? He takes and uses God's very presence that he has reserved for the church and uses it against the church to blind the church. Why? Fear and unbelief will blind you. Amen. So he said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. Now they are following him because of what? Blindness. Amen. Though they had gone to take him, the very one that they were seeking is now leading them, and because they were blind, they did not see. Jesus taught this principle in the New Testament. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both
fall in the ditch.
How many are trying to get out the ditch? Because you're following the blind. All right, and we're going to close in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And how many churches are there did Paul, did John see in Patmos? How many churches were there?
Seven
churches. But the last church had a characteristic that none of the other churches had. And it's so prevalent and evident today. Amen. The last church had a characteristic that none of the other churches had in the Laodicean church. Verse 14 reads of Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. All right. We're what church age are we in?
Laodicean
church age. Amen. This is the last church age. And the angel of the church, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. That's true. Amen. No doubting. The faithful and
true
witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I
know thy works.
How many know tonight God knows everything that we're doing? Amen. Somebody else you might be able to fool, but God knows thy works. That thou art neither
cold nor hot.
I would thou were
cold or hot.
You know what God said? You're going through all the motions on the outside. But God said, I see way down because I know. I know what's in you. I know your works. I know what you do behind closed doors. I know what you do when the saints turn around. Hallelujah. So then, because thou art
lukewarm
and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of mine mouth. Because thou sayest. Now listen to this. These are the characteristics in the last church that was not prevalent or present in any of the other churches, the last church. And we're going over tonight what we're dealing with, hardness of heart and what? Blindness. Amen. Hardness means I see myself one way, but God sees me another way. I see myself one way, naturally. But spiritually, God sees me another way. Amen. I am rich and increase with good and have need of
nothing.
Said, now that's to your natural eyes. God says, now I'm going to flip the spiritual switch on you. And knowest not that thou art
wretched,
miserable,
and poor,
and
blind.
And naked. He said, now you think you're all right, naturally. But God said, no, I see you spiritually. Spiritually, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you don't see what I see. He said, you're naked, and if you read about it, I believe, I forget which book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 4, the Bible talks about how all things are naked before the eyes of God. In other words, there's no place we can go and hide. All right? Then the next verse says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried
in the fire.
What is this symbolic of?
Faith.
So the previous representation was a person that walked by sight and not by
faith.
He said, when you walk by your own sight, you would think it's one way. But when you get in faith, you'll know the truth. Can we say, I know the truth?
I know the truth.
I want to know the truth. Hallelujah. I don't want to live all my life thinking I'm going to heaven and deceive myself. I want to be right. Because God knows, you know, with every one of those churches that they did have some common things in common. He said, I know every one of your works. He said, let him that has an ear, let him what the Spirit says unto the church. Buy me gold, trying to find that thou mayest be rich and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. Now he said they were what? Blind. Was it a natural blindness?
Spiritual.
It was a what kind of blindness?
Spiritual
blindness. He said, and anoint thine eyes with eyes said that thou mayest. Daily and on a monthly and a yearly basis, we are looking through our natural eyes. But brothers and sisters, tonight, isn't it important that we begin to look through our spiritual eyes? Isn't it important that we see the angels or the demons and things that are before us and try to destroy us? We need to get out of this natural and get into the spiritual. Amen? The next verse reads, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and
repent.
All God wants, you know, the thing is, we are to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the
faith or not.
We have to examine ourselves. It's not up to, now God does give leadership discernment, but when it comes down to making the final decision, we have to examine ourselves. Amen. Throw all in the, you know, the devil likes to cloud our thinking and our minds up. Throw that out. Say, Lord, it's just me and you. Lord, help me to see myself like you see me. And that's the only thing that counts tonight, brothers and sisters. It does me no good to win the world and lose my soul. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Tonight, the most important thing is I want to be able to hear the Lord say it as well with my soul. Behold, I stand at the door and anybody feel God knocking tonight? Anybody feel God trying to change some stuff around in your life? He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and
open the door.
Now, let me ask you a question. Who is he talking to?
Church.
God is knocking to the church, trying to get in the what? This isn't to the world. This is to those who have lost their sight spiritually and they're in error. They're going the wrong direction. God is knocking on the door of the church. Wasn't God trying to get in the church? Hello? God is knocking, trying to get back into your life. Because your spiritual perception is taking you away from God. And God is trying to get you to repent. Open the door, he said, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and him with me. To him that
overcometh.
Lord, tonight is all about overcoming. Not overcoming anybody else. Lord, help me to overcome myself. God is knocking at the door of the church, trying to get back into the church because we have gotten so carnally minded. Amen. We've got so naturally minded. We think we're doing God's favor and will when in all actuality we're walking into the hardness of our heart through our belief. Can we let it back in?
Amen.
Come on, can we let God back in the church?
Amen.
Dear Lord, I come to someone said, dear Lord, I come withholding
nothing.
What are you holding back tonight?
Jesus.
What are you withholding from God? Dear Lord, I come withholding
nothing.
And I have
one desire.
How many have put all? Now, a lot of us get off, we put some stuff there, but we take some stuff back with us. Have we put it all on the altar? God sees the secret things. Paul tells them, he said, There's going to come a time when God is going to judge the secrets of man's heart by the gospel. Romans chapter 2, you can read it for yourself. God one day is going to judge the secrets of our heart. What is he going to judge it? Through the gospel. It's time as we stand. Amen. I went a little over time, but forgive me. It's going to come a time, but the time has already come when we need to be real with God. It's not important to impress anybody else but God. As the altar team and the ministers and the elders come forward tonight, it's about doing what's right in the sight of God. If you've lost your direction, if you've lost your way, it's time to be right with God. Amen. It's time to say, Lord, have thine own way. The most important thing we need to do tonight is discern. Are we looking through our natural eyes or are we looking through our spiritual eyes? When we look through our natural eyes, we will deceive ourselves. We'll be as Saul was, thinking we're doing right before God, but all along we will be persecuting God as Saul did. Can we examine ourselves tonight to see whether we're in the faith or not? It's time for us to say yes to the Lord, yes to his will, yes to his will. Well, how do I say yes? By walking in obedience to God. Hallelujah.